We're looking today at 1 Corinthians chapter 1, and we'll begin in the last part of verse 17. 1 Corinthians chapter 1, verse 17. The Bible says that when Jesus preached in Mark chapter 12, verse 37, that the common people heard him gladly. The average person could listen to Jesus preach, and if that average common person was honest, he could understand what Jesus was talking about. Because God wants all men to be saved. He wants all men to be saved and to come to the knowledge of the truth. 1 Timothy chapter 2, verse 4. Well, if God had given a message that was so complex that only very intelligent people could understand, where would that leave the rest of us? Well, God didn't do that. God gave a simple message. Now, there are things in the Bible that are hard to understand. There are some weighty matters in the Bible as far as study is concerned. And Peter even said that himself about what Paul wrote. He said that Paul wrote some things hard to understand. 2 Peter chapter 3, verse 16. There is enough in the Bible to challenge anybody, regardless of how intelligent he is. But as far as salvation is concerned, as far as what you need to know in order to be saved is concerned, and what you need to understand as far as living the Christian life is concerned, the Bible is simple. The Bible is easy to understand. And it has to be that way, because if the Bible was so complex that you had to go through a long, elaborate process to understand it, much less to remember and apply it, then it would be impossible for us to put into practice on a daily basis. And so these Corinthians were looking for the wrong kind of wisdom. That's the key. That's the background of what Paul is saying to these people. You see, in the book of 1 Corinthians, in the first three chapters, Paul uses, in the King James Version, the words wisdom and wise 26 times. And in those first three chapters, he uses the words foolish, foolishness, and fool 9 times in the King James Version of 1 Corinthians chapters 1, 2, and 3. So the problem at Corinth was that they were divided. The problem at Corinth was that there were contentions and that there was strife among these people. Now, what was the cause of their not getting along with each other? It was reliance upon and pride in human wisdom. There's nothing bad about the word wisdom. There's nothing wrong with the word wisdom in itself. But it depends on what kind of wisdom you're talking about. And the wisdom that these Corinthians were seeking was worldly wisdom. And the worldly wisdom that they were seeking was especially Greek philosophy. It's interesting that the word philosophy literally means a love of wisdom. And remember that Corinth is not very far from Athens, Greece, and that was the intellectual center of the day. That is where people like Socrates and Plato and Aristotle and all these other Greek philosophers had taught. Some of the greatest minds in history, according to worldly standards, had been in Athens, Greece. So there was a long history of this teaching of Greek philosophy. And there were many people in Paul's day that felt that if you were going to be truly educated, you had to know Greek philosophy. You had to be up to date as far as these theories were concerned. And some of this intellectual snobbishness had rubbed off on some of the members of the church at Corinth. They were looking too much to worldly wisdom. So instead of looking to God for wisdom, they were looking to men. Now that again goes along with the problem that he's already introduced in this chapter, and that is they were putting too much emphasis on men. They were exalting men way too much. And because of their pursuit of human wisdom, the Bible says in the book of 1 Corinthians, more than in any other book of the Bible, that these Christians were puffed up. You find that expression more in the book of 1 Corinthians than you will find it in all the other books of the New Testament combined. They were puffed up. Now, all of this helps us to understand why Paul is talking the way that he does in 1 Corinthians chapter 1, and we'll begin in verse 17. We've already looked at what he says about baptism and the preaching of the gospel in verse 17, so we'll start with our emphasis on the last part of verse 17. But let's begin reading in the first part of 1 Corinthians 1, verse 17. For Christ sent me not to baptize, but to preach the gospel, not with wisdom of words, lest the cross of Christ should be made of none effect. For the preaching of the cross is to them that perish foolishness, but unto us which are saved, it is the power of God. The Corinthians were looking for human wisdom. They were impressed by worldly education and worldly wisdom. And Paul says, if you try to make the gospel into a display of human wisdom, you actually weaken it. You don't strengthen the gospel by presenting a man as if he's the most intelligent man on earth, because the emphasis is not to be on the preacher, it is to be on the one who is preached about, and that is God and his Son, Jesus Christ. So he said, one sure way to weaken the gospel and actually to cancel out the power of the gospel is to inject wisdom of words into that. Now, Paul is not saying it's wrong for a preacher to have training. Paul is not saying that it's wrong for a preacher to be educated. What Paul is saying is that a preacher, if he is educated, is to use that education to further the gospel and to bring glory to Jesus Christ. Paul himself was a highly educated man. As a matter of fact, he was more educated than any of the rest of the apostles. So Paul is not saying that if a man is educated, that he cannot be a gospel preacher, or that that necessarily takes away from his ability to preach the gospel. But what Paul is saying is that when you preach, that is not a time to display your worldly education. That is a time to preach Jesus Christ and his gospel. And so he says that if you try to use wisdom of words more than simply preach the doctrine of Christ, you will actually make the gospel, the cross of Christ, of none effect. Now, he explains even more about this in verse 18. He says, the preaching of the cross is to them that perish foolishness. He'll explain more about that in the verses that follow. And remember that he's not talking about the activity of preaching here. When he says, for the preaching of the cross is to them that perish foolishness, he's not saying that the simple act of a man getting up and preaching is foolish. What he is saying is that what we preach, that is the death, burial, and resurrection of Christ, is to these people that he's talking about just foolishness. A humiliated Savior, the King of kings and the Lord of lords, being raised from the dead, is a foolish message to some people. And it was especially foolish to these Greek philosophers back in Paul's day that evidently some of these Corinthian Christians were impressed with. Notice that he says in verse 18, for the preaching of the cross is to them that perish foolishness, but unto us which are saved, it. What is the it here? Look at verse 18 and notice the word it in the last part. Unto us which are saved, it is the power of God. Well, the it there is not the act of preaching. It is the gospel. It is the message. It is the message of the death, burial, and resurrection of Jesus Christ. To people that are lost, that is a foolish message. To us which are saved, it is the power of God, the power to save our souls. And so the same message, the same gospel, produces opposite reactions. Some receive it and some don't. Some look at the gospel and say that it is foolishness. Others look at the gospel, and they're glad to hear it, they obey it, and they're saved in the process. Now, the reason that there are different reactions to the gospel is not because of the culture that people are born into or raised in. It's not because of the conditioning that they've had. It's not because of the training or the teaching that they've received. It is because of their own choice. It is because of each man's free will. Because we all make our own response to the gospel of Jesus Christ. So some in Paul's day looked at the gospel as foolishness. Others looked at it as the power of God to save our souls. Now let's continue reading in verse 19. He says, for it is written, I will destroy the wisdom of the wise and will bring to nothing the understanding of the prudent. Where is the wise? Where is the scribe? Where is the disputer of this world? Hath not God made foolish the wisdom of this world? He's quoting from Isaiah 29, verse 14. And there the people had given themselves over to idolatry because they thought that their wisdom was greater than God's wisdom. And isn't that interesting? You find the same thing in Romans chapter 1. The Bible says that the people in Romans 1 turned away from God, who shows his power in the creation itself. And they became vain in their imaginations, that is, they became futile in their speculations, and their foolish heart was darkened. They professed themselves to be wise, but they became fools. An interesting twist, an ironic statement about Greek philosophers, because Greek philosophers saw themselves as being the most wise people on earth. Paul said that they were fools because they rejected the true and the living God. And notice that these people, who were supposed to be so intelligent and so wise, changed the glory of the uncorruptible God into an image made like to corruptible man, to birds, and to four-footed beast and creeping things. In other words, these supposedly brilliant Greek philosophers thought that it was foolish to serve the true and the living God, but they thought that it was wise to worship idols. And how wise was that? But that's typical of human wisdom. So in 1 Corinthians chapter 1, verse 20, Paul asked, where are these wise people? Where is the scribe, that is, these brilliant writers? Where is the disputer or the debater of this world? Where are all these brilliant people? Paul's answer is that God has made foolish the wisdom of this world. It is nothing compared to God. And so the Bible tells us about God's plan in verse 21. For after that, in the wisdom of God, the world, by wisdom, that is, by its own wisdom, the wrong kind of wisdom, did not know God. It pleased God by the foolishness of preaching to save them that believe. Now remember, the foolishness of preaching here is not the act of preaching. It is the message of the gospel. People who were given to Greek philosophy looked at the gospel as a foolish idea. That's why those Greek philosophers made fun of Paul when he mentioned the resurrection of the dead in Acts chapter 17, verses 31 and 32. They said that that was ridiculous. And by the way, Athens, Greece was not very far from Corinth. And we're even going to see later in 1 Corinthians chapter 15 that some of these members of the church at Corinth rejected the idea of the resurrection of the dead. So it appears that this Greek philosophy had truly rubbed off on some of these Christian people, and Paul is warning about that. And notice in 1 Corinthians 1, verse 21, that Paul shows that God knew ahead of time that some people would react to the gospel like this. God knew that there would be people who would say that the gospel is foolishness. God knew that there would be some people who would say, well, that gospel message is just too simple. God knew that some people would make fun of the gospel. God knew that some people would look at the death, burial, and resurrection of Christ and say that it was foolish. But God chose the simple message of the gospel because he wanted a message that all men can understand. He didn't want some kind of doctrine that can only be understood and appreciated by people who have a certain level of intelligence. God loves all men. God wants all men to be saved. And God wants all men to come to the knowledge of the truth. And if there's any book in the Bible which puts down human wisdom and exalts the wisdom of God, it is this great book of 1 Corinthians.